Ours to Protect. In association with the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland, check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Ours to Protect is funded by commissioning a man with the television licence fee and is a partnership between South East Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland, and you can check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information. This week we look at Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions after a recent EPA report found they decreased by 1.9% in 2022. And joining us to look at this is Stephen Tracy, who's Senior Scientific Officer of Emissions Statistics Team, Office of Evidence and Assessment. And here's what Stephen has to say.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, Stephen. So is it safe to say the EPA are not happy with the latest report?
Well, I think what the EPA report is showing that we are seeing a decrease in emissions. Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions decreased by 1.9% in 2022, but that still a lot of work remains to be done, and that reduction isn't really of the scale that we need to see to be able to meet the carbon budget and climate action and sectoral ceiling targets that Ireland has in place now.
So where are we seeing the problems then, Stephen?
Well, it's across the board, really. So we've seen decreases in power generation down by just under 2%, agricultural emissions down by 1.2%, a big reduction in residential emissions down nearly 13%, but transport emissions going the wrong direction at up 6%. And even those smaller decreases, really, when we look at what's required to be achieved by 2025, for example, under the first carbon budget, we need to be seeing reductions from here on in of over 12% per year each year from now until 2025 to meet the carbon budget overall.
You would be forgiven for thinking with the advent of electric vehicles and an increase in the sales of them that it will be having an immediate effect. By all accounts, it doesn't seem to be having the desired effect at the moment. Why so? Have you managed to shed some light on that for us?
I think what we're seeing is we are seeing the effect of some measures, and we pointed out a few of them, particularly around fertiliser use, for example, in agriculture, which decreased 14% for synthetic nitrogen. But what we're also seeing then is that the decarbonisation actions are being outpaced by increased demand. So in the case of energy demand, for example, although we're seeing more renewable generation this year, we saw an increase in demand overall, with gas use being up then ultimately. And then in the case of agriculture, we saw increased livestock numbers, you know, not entirely cancelling out, but reducing the impact of the measures to reduce emissions. So it's a combination of, you know, measures at an early stage as well. So we do have good increase in the number of EVs this year, but still with the underlying growth in demand, it's cancelling out the effect so far.
All right. I want to move into other areas, but before we move away from transport emissions, maybe you could even look at that even closer for us as to what needs to be done immediately.
Yeah, well, in this case of the transport sector, what we've seen is a reduction, or an increase in emissions, I should say, of over 6% in the last 2 years, and that's following on from the big drop due to the COVID restrictions. So we saw emissions go down substantially during the COVID period, and some of what we're seeing now is still a rebound from that level, but what we really can't see happening is if we get back up to the level, and we're back up to about 95% of the pre-COVID level at this stage. If the emissions get up to that level again, they're obviously going the wrong direction, because what we need to see from here on in are substantial reductions, and 7-8% kind of reductions over the next 3 years.
How will that be done? How can it be done? Done speedily?
Well, it's not going to be just EVs. So, I mean, obviously EVs are one part of the mix, and the numbers we're seeing for EVs this year are slightly ahead of schedule in terms of the being on track for what was in the Climate Action Plan for 2023. But we are also talking about demand reduction measures and measures that will you know, enable people to use more active transport and more public transport, and also enable people not to have to travel. You know, if we're working from home is obviously part of that as well, and that's something that's continued on from the restrictions that works for people. It's not just something that's an imposition, it's something that makes people's life better in general.
Let's look at residential emissions as well. There's good news on this front, isn't it? They decreased by 12.7%.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very positive sign. It's going that direction. There's a number of factors in that. So we think there's three key factors here, one of which is undoubtedly the high cost of fuel. So, I mean, that does have an impact. And there was with the Ukraine war, obviously, there was very high fuel prices for home heating in 2022. But it's more than that. So it was also a warmer winter, so that we didn't have as much demand for heating. But also there was a new solid fuel regulations came in October 2022, which meant that some of the dirtier fuels, which are also the ones with the higher greenhouse gas emissions, like bituminous coal, the amount of that being used decreased substantially. So that's also a welcome thing. So if people are using fuels that are less dirty from an air quality perspective, they're also often less pollution from a greenhouse gas perspective.
So you're warned that a growing economy with high employment will continue to produce emissions if cleaner and alternative sources of energies are not used. So the positives of having full employment, there's some negatives in there as well. How do we address this? How do we get the balance?
I mean, it's the same as how we've addressed it in the past. I mean, when we look back at the electricity emissions, we saw a constant decline in electricity generation intensity. So the amount of emissions per unit of electricity being generated went down all the way through the mid-2000s. And that was because we were moving away from older, less efficient power generation and moving into renewable energy. So it's really about that. It's cleaner, moving away from coal and peat. We still have a certain amount of coal on the system. In 2022 was quite substantial, even though it came down in that year because it had gone up by a large amount in 2021. So once we can get rid of that piece and then we get more renewables on the system, then you can generate more electricity without the associated emissions. So that's one part of it. But it's the same in the other sectors as well. And it's really, in terms of the agriculture sector, we know it's quite challenging to maintain output whilst at the same time and not having such high emissions, but I think the Chagas came out there on Wednesday with a new marginal abatement cost curve analysis, which looks at a lot of the measures that might help them deliver that. So I think across the board there are a lot of ideas how this is done, and really what we need to see is these measures happening very quickly, because the demands of what we've committed to under the sectoral ceilings and carbon budget are very immediate.
Thanks for your detailed analysis of the findings. Personally, were you, as the expert that you are, a senior scientific officer, were you surprised by the findings?
I think they were quite in line with what we had projected, I have to say, so we weren't that surprised ultimately that they worked out that way. But some of the things, would have been unusual events in the year, like the impact of the fuel prices particularly, and that also affected fertilizer as well. And so they were bigger reductions than we might have expected to see in a normal year. So that was something that was positive. I suppose the other side of it is we are still seeing that decoupling has not really happened, that decoupling of growth from emissions growth, and really we were probably hopeful that we might have seen more of that, and let's hope that happens in the next years.
You have a few websites you might like to recommend for people who want to find out more about this, so by all means do so.
Yeah, so we have all this information up on www.epa.ie/ghg. So the report itself, various infographics, and the website itself goes through a lot of the detail too, with spreadsheets and so on. So everything you need is up there.
Our thanks to Stephen there. Ours to Protect. And of course, next week we'll focus in again on another area that will give us an update on the environment and the whole area of sustainability.